and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Cracking start to the day, isn't it? And thank you, Tom, and to your band this morning for leading us. That's a privilege for us to have that. And if you are new to Lighthouse Community Church this morning, just want to extend a warm welcome to you, to Eden. And so it's great to be here. We're going to carry on this morning looking at the theme of about the Holy Spirit. And there's two things to mention. I've got a timer. So just because I can't read that clock on that wall. And also, I brought my reading glasses this week. But I'm going to do this thing of, because they're reading glasses, I'm going to be taking them off and putting them back on. I always used to think that was just old people that do that, but I'm not in that bracket of being old, I don't think. Is that right? Yeah. Watch what I say. All right. Okay. Yeah. My security team. Yeah, that's what it is. So anyway, we're going to just be looking at empowered to witness today. And, you know, we love an underdog story, don't we? And whether that's the unlikely hero in a movie or an athlete overcoming all the odds to beat the favourites. I think for me, I love kind of seeing that happen. And it is about wanting to see the small guy do well and exceed all expectations. And in sport, they might use the term giant killer as a way of meaning the underdog might beat one of the best teams in that type of sport. And in the Bible, we could list a number of individuals that were considered underdogs or unlikely heroes. So, for example, God chose people to use throughout the Old and the New Testament in incredible ways. He called people like David and Gideon, Rahab, Mary. We could spend quite a lot of time, couldn't we, just going through the list of names of people that were kind of like under the radar. And I think if we were to go around and select a team of people, it'd probably be people we would walk past and go, yeah, I wouldn't go for that person because I'm looking for that specific talent, yeah? But what excites me as I look around the room today is that actually God can use you. And he can use you in incredible ways, in ways that you probably would go beyond your wildest dreams in what God can do. And as we unpack this morning, it's a real kind of personal challenge for you is saying, okay, as Tom was leading us in worship, he said, you know, maybe he said, you know, open your hands up this morning. It's like that wait. But as scripture says about waiting, it's like waiting with an expectation. It's not just sitting down and going, God may show up today. We'll just see what happens. It's saying, no, I know God's here in this place, and I know that he's going to speak. But I'm going to wait in expectation that he's going to do new things through me, through us as a church. And so that's what excites me about when we come into relationship with Jesus. And so today, this underdog story, we're going to look at this guy called Peter. And what makes this story incredible is that he witnessed the most pivotal, the greatest story of watching really the death and resurrection of Jesus. But we're going to be specifically looking at what happened afterwards. Afterwards in what happened to Peter and then what happened to many, many people, including the impact that it has on you and I today. And as Hannah kicked off the series a couple of weeks ago, we're looking at this series of empowered to witness. Who loves power? Anyone here? All right, you all sit in the dark at home then, you don't like electricity, you know, all that kind of stuff. We love power. When we say that, I'm not saying like it's self, like, look at me kind of thing. It's not that kind of negative. But actually, it's being empowered by the presence of God. I'm hoping you're going to be more enthusiastic as I go through this morning in this, okay? So, as we explore this, I want to unpack this question as how does Peter go from being fearful to becoming bold and courageous? Now, if you already know your scripture, you know the story about Peter, you know where I'm going with this. But in scripture, it's so good just to keep kind of regurgitating and going over and over again, because God can speak new things into the same passages that you might have heard for years and years. Okay? In fact, let me just pray for us right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your presence is already here this morning. We thank you that you are faithful, that you are good, you are kind, and that you are generous. I thank you that you look upon each person in this room today who you know our identity. You don't look at us as a nobody. You look at us with our with your kind eyes, knowing that you are for us, that you want to see us move forward in knowing you, to make an impact in this world. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to just come and help our hearts and minds be in line with you. Help us to be stirred up in faith today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, as I say, there was nothing special about Peter. Okay? So if you consider yourself today in this place a bit of an underdog, then I want to challenge you. Okay? Here's a couple of the headlines of what Peter's early life was like. So we know he was originally named Simon, son of Jonah or John, and we know he was a Jew. And he would have grown up with knowledge of the Old Testament scripture. He was a fisherman from Bethsaida, a town next to the Sea of Galilee, and he worked with his brother Andrew. And we know that Peter was married, and because in the book of Mark it mentions he has a mother-in-law. We don't know much else as such about Peter's early life, but what we do know is what happens when he encountered Jesus, okay? So he was introduced to Jesus by Andrew, and Jesus renamed him Cephas, which is Aramaic for rock, translated as Peter, okay? And he was called to follow Jesus while fishing. So he had a very ordinary job. He had a very ordinary background. But Jesus saw something in him. And Peter left everything to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And here's some key moments you can read in the Gospels, and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. We know that he confessed of Christ. He declared, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, is what Peter said to Jesus. But at the same time, he was rebuked by Jesus, because when Peter resisted the idea that Jesus was going to have to suffer, and Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. We know that Peter walked on water. He briefly walked on the sea towards Jesus, but sank when he doubted, when he saw the waves were coming towards him. And we also know that Peter denied knowing Jesus after Jesus was arrested, and denied knowing Jesus three times during his trial. And then Peter, we know, returned back to fishing because that's what he knew, so let's go back to that. But actually, Jesus had a plan for his life, and he restored him. And after the resurrection of Jesus, he reinstated Peter by asking three times, do you love me? And charged him to feed my sheep. Okay, so we've got that brief headlines of what he did before, the kind of things of what happened when Jesus was walking on this earth. And then we're going to jump to what happens when Peter, we read in the book of Acts, okay? And then we are going to read some scripture in a few moments. So we know that Peter became a central leader of the early church on the day of Pentecost. He preached boldly, and about 3,000 people were saved at Pentecost. Okay, that's quite a casual day. Could you imagine at 3,000? We might have a bit of a problem with this building. Refreshments might be a bit of an issue, you know, that kind of stuff. But isn't that incredible? Remember, Peter is an ordinary guy. He performed miracles, including healing of a lame man and raising Tabitha or Dorcas from the dead. He faced persecution. He was imprisoned and had that angelic experience when he was released from prison. And he played a key role in the opening the church to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are simply non-Jews like you or I. And through his vision and visit to Cornelius. Okay, this is all in the book of Acts. And I think the important thing of just giving you these headlines is actually what happened. Okay, when you read scripture, when you're reading through a chapter, is to sometimes it's really good just to pause and just to kind of reflect on what's happening before, during, and after in these stories. Because we need to know what happened. Because did Peter suddenly become like a Marvel superhero? Did Peter suddenly get this kind of eureka moment and worked it all out and was now ready to take on the world? Absolutely not. What we know happened is Peter encountered the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what changed. And I love it in the Bible that the Bible is honest. It shows the downs as well as the ups. And with the life of Peter, if it helps us to see how remarkable change is and reveals to us what happened when we encounter the person of the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in us, with us, and changing us. Then the narrative for us today is to know that if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to you and I. Isn't that exciting? But also, isn't it a little bit terrifying as well? I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. Not like dictating control, but in the sense of I like to know what's going to happen the rest of the day, or like to have a plan for what's going to happen in the coming week, or what we're going to do in this, that, and other. But this morning is a challenge for you and I that sometimes, especially when we're waiting on the Holy Spirit, is to say, I lay all those plans down. Because God speaks, and he may speak and direct you in a way that you never ever expected. If you think back to the early part of Peter when he said yes to following Jesus, he probably in one sense had no idea what was about to happen, what his life over those next few years and for the rest of his life was going to look like. I think that's exciting. And I want to challenge us today and say, hey, let's be open to what God might be saying to you today. You've all gone very quiet now. Some of you are thinking, I wish I went to the park too, all right? No, seriously, it's all really, really exciting when we think about what God can do through ordinary people like you and I. And I want to just kind of back this up, okay? The Peter before and the kind of during and actually what happens when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, it's important we get these verses in. And if you've got your Bible with you, I wasn't going to put slides up because there was going to be loads and loads of different kind of verses jumping around. So you can use this either as I read out for you to close your eyes and just dwell on the text, or if you've got your Bible, you need to just turn to the book of Acts. And we're going to go to Acts 1, verse 4-11. Okay. So, this is where in Acts chapter 1, verse 4-11. So Jesus is still with them in the physical form. And it said, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait. For the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, have I gone on? 4-11, I don't know. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Okay? There's that kind of commandment to go and wait. Wait because there's a promise. And I think the exciting thing when God promises something, that is the most important thing we need to hold on to. Okay? It's the promise of Jesus. That's a massive thing that Jesus said as he was departing, as he was ascending to heaven. Because earlier in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, or it's also known as other translations as the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying it's better I go in my physical form so that then I can fulfill the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. Now, if Jesus says it is better, then that's quite an important thing to hold on to. It is better for him to go so that the promise of the Holy Spirit will come. And why is that so important? It's important because all believers have the opportunity to then be filled with the presence of Jesus in our lives. And it empowers us and fills us with fresh faith to witness to others and bring the light of Jesus into very dark places in this world. And I don't know about you, but we are getting exposed more and more, aren't we, to the way that there is so much darkness in this world. There is a few people in this world that have very powerful positions that are playing with many, many millions of lives. We could hold on to fear and say, my goodness, what's coming to this world? Because these things have just been going on and on in history anyway. Or we hold on to the promises of Jesus and we lean in onto him and say, help me, Lord Jesus, to be a prayer warrior, and B, to make sure wherever I go, I'm taking the presence of Jesus into dark places. There is a lot of fear in this world. And for us, we are called to take the joy of Jesus into places that are broken. We want to see the name of Jesus on more and more people's lips, don't we? That's what we want to see. Because we know, and we're all evidence of this, if you know Jesus in this place today, then you're already proof of this. Jesus transforms your life. And he brings about fresh hope, faith, joy, peace, things that are very hard to describe to people that never have experienced the presence of Jesus before. We want to see people's lives transformed, yeah? I can sense you're warming up. This is good. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, I'm not going to read out the scripture, but simply just to give you the idea, is that the followers of Jesus, the disciples, returned to Jerusalem. So this is an important thing, is that they heard Jesus say, return. They didn't just say, well, he's gone now, let's just go and go shopping somewhere, let's just go and head off into another town. No, they follow Jesus' commandment, and they go back to Jerusalem. What did they do? They actually gathered together, and I just want to read out what happens in a moment, is that they didn't sit around. They didn't just go, well, let's just look at my social media feed and just see what's going on. They didn't kind of put on Netflix and kind of think, okay, let's just watch some kind of random film or series. No, they gathered and they prayed. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, if you're still with me on this with your scripture, again, if it helps you, maybe just to close your eyes to dwell on this passage, okay? So this is what it says in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. You see, they came, returned to Jerusalem, and they were in the upper room, and they waited. But they waited with an expectation something was going to happen. Things happen when God's here. And this mighty rushing wind, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came. And I'm just going to read in verse 5 to 7 what happened next, because sadly there are churches or believers around the world that kind of say, let's receive, but let's keep it. Yeah?
It's nice to have an experience. But no, getting filled with the Holy Spirit is about fueling you for the next thing. And this is what happens in verse 5 to 7. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are these not all these who speak Galileans?" Basically saying, who are these people? These are almost like nobodies. What happens is that when you're fueled with the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not something to keep to yourself. It's almost like the disciples almost bumbled out into the street because they were like, I cannot not keep this quiet. This is about saying, I've got to share this with other people. And even though people were critical of them, of saying, oh, these just are Galileans, what are they doing? And it does say in Scripture, oh, they must be just drunk on wine. No, it was God doing something through them. They poured out into the street, and we know through that time that Peter preached. It was like the first sermon. And we know that thousands came to know Christ. And if you read through, certainly through the first number of chapters of Acts, that's really the theme. Is we're not talking about one or two people getting saved. We're talking about thousands upon thousands. This is Peter. We talk about other people, the other disciples as well involved. But if we just focus on Peter for a moment, remember, this is a guy that just had an ordinary job, that didn't really, in one sense, know what he was signing up to. He just wanted to follow Jesus. And now we're at this stage, a few years later, he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking about the good news to people. Isn't that amazing? So if you ever put yourself as an underdog or a bit of a nobody, I want to shake you up this morning and say that you are not an underdog to God. And the Holy Spirit isn't just for a few people. It's for each and every believer. This is the result, and I'm going to just read Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. This kind of wraps up this kind of what happens in Peter's kind of the before, middle, and after, okay? But listen to this. This is when, when Peter is preaching, and this after he's preached, this is what happens. Now, when the people had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brothers, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." That's referring to us today. And this is the little heading in the scriptures that says a vital church grows. And with many words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who were believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Oh, Lord Jesus, do we want to see that in this day? We want to see that happen. Do you want to see it happen? Yeah. We want to see the good news of Jesus transforming lives. So, how do we kind of begin to land this? This is the story of somebody that has come before us and has gone. And we're a couple of thousand years later. How do we apply this to our lives? Well, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," or another passage, in other translations, it might use the word timidity, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And in this scripture, it's the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy of the gift of the Spirit, not to fear, but to walk boldly. I don't know what a boldly walk would look like. I don't know. But I think many of us, me included, we can struggle with fear. The fear of being judged, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of uncertainty. But we're encouraged not to retreat, but to advance. And there are some times in our lives when we just need to stand our ground. Sometimes life throws a lot of stuff at us, and the temptation is to retreat. But I believe there's times where we just need to stand our ground, and there are times just to advance and go and fulfill what God's called us to do and to be. However, doing it in our own strength, and if we've got an example of like Peter's life, when he tried to do stuff in his own strength, he often said something that was a bit silly, or he would do stuff that kind of just faded away very quickly. He was very, he was a guy that was adamant he would not deny knowing Jesus. Jesus challenged him to that, and Peter kind of slipped up. Jesus restored him. But if we do things in our own strength, we might say, yes, I'm going to do that and do this, and I'll never do that. In our own strength, the likelihood is we're probably going to slip up. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're empowered by him and empowered to witness, then we have that the presence of God with us. And we are continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Hannah said this a few weeks ago, that we leak, don't we? So just to think, oh yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 26 years ago, and I had a most wonderful experience, but then that was back then, and that was it for now. No, we need to continuously come back to God and say, help me. Help me, I want to be restored and re-strengthened and all those kind of things. But it's through the power of God we will witness breakthrough after breakthrough, all for the glory of God. It's not for our own recognition. It is all towards the glory of God. So, what God hasn't given us is a spirit of fear. Okay, fear can paralyze us, faith can diminish, and it can silence our witness to other people. Fear does not come from God. It comes from doubt, the enemy. It comes from what's going on around us. Doubt can come from just the flesh of things where we wake up maybe the wrong side of the bed in the morning, or get up outside the wrong side of the bed in the morning. So what has God given us? He's given us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. So being filled with the Spirit increases faith, and we want to share the good news of Jesus. Being filled with the Spirit helps us resist temptation and want to pursue the goodness of God. So increases faith and want to share the good news. There's communities that are doing different things. The community that Kim and I are leading, we're inviting our neighbors around and getting to know them and building a friendship. We haven't started the Alpha course as we wanted to start, but we've got people that have said yes, they want to do it. It's just fitting in with their schedule of how we're going to do that. There are communities where people are inviting unbelievers to get involved in different things. That's great. What happens here during the week? It gives the opportunity to speak life into where people are very, very lost right now. So being filled with the Spirit leads us to being courageous. So growing up, as a child, my parents sent me to Sunday school. Which is not really a thing anymore, is it? Like, but I was part of this independent church that I used to go to that wouldn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. They believe it was just for the time in the scripture. Now, obviously, I was as a child, I didn't understand all that kind of theology, but it certainly wasn't encouraged about praying for one another in that sense. It was always front-led and such like. So when I met Kim and I started going to an Elim church was the first thing we went to, and then the churches we've been involved with for years, I would have said I was very skeptical about the Holy Spirit. Because as Hannah shared her experience growing up, for me personally, I could understand the concept of a heavenly father, a father figure, that kind of thing. I could understand the person of Jesus because the stories explain Jesus, and I can see if they're saying that Jesus was a human being, I can look around the room and see that we're human beings. I can get that in my head. But then this whole sense about the person of the Holy Spirit, that's quite a difficult thing to kind of grasp hold of. And then I saw and heard stuff when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, that weird things would happen. And in those weird things, like people shaking, screaming on the floor, speaking in tongue, all these kind of things, I was kind of like, I'd go along, and certainly in my early days of going to a church that would believe in the move of the Holy Spirit, I would dread it if someone talked about the Holy Spirit, because I was thinking, weird things are going to happen. But over the years, I've learned that actually, yes, yeah, sometimes kind of the outpouring, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit can do things in people's lives. But for us not to be fearful when we pray that for people to receive the presence of God, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't think it helps that there are stuff online that you tend to see some videos of people kind of maybe receiving the Holy Spirit, or it might be just all G'd up and you get that kind of weird and wacky stuff that unfortunately tends to come out from the United States where things happen. Now that can be very off-putting. And I just want to reassure you, if you're in that kind of camp of like, I'm not quite sure about this Holy Spirit business, because at the end we're going to have an opportunity to pray for one another, I just want to say that actually God will meet you where you're at. And the amazing thing is God knows you. I know some people here very, very well. I don't know some others very well. But one thing I am confident is that God knows you. And he knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows where you're at right now. He knows what you're carrying. He knows everything about your life. And what happened to me is that I'm not really a guy that likes being at the front, if I'm perfectly honest. I prefer to be behind the scenes helping, kind of build other people up and things like that. So I'm never pursuing that I must be on the preaching rota or anything like that. That's not what I'm interested in. But actually what happens to me is that I'm not this kind of big shouty person. But it was many, many years ago that we were at a prayer and worship evening. And because I was starting to understand and grasp a little bit more about who the person the Holy Spirit is, that I just began in worship just to say, Lord, I want to be filled with you. I want to know you. I want to go that kind of, in one sense, that extra step in just what it is to experience that richness of life with you throughout my day to day. And in that moment, God answered my prayer. And it didn't come in a big kind of like loud way. It didn't come in any way that anyone around me would have noticed. But it was in that quiet where I just had my hands open and I began to speak in tongues. Now, it's a hard thing to describe what happens when that happens to you. Again, it was just happening under my breath. And in my kind of little moment of skepticism, I thought, is this me trying to put it on? Or is it kind of like God doing something? So I thought I'd test God, because obviously that's the thing you do in life, is you test God. No, don't do that, all right? But in that moment, I just thought, right, is it me trying to force something to happen? And as much as I tried in those few moments, I came to realize, no, God is doing something different in my life. And speaking in tongues helps me when I don't know what to pray. It helps me in those moments, that first thing in the morning, even though I'm a morning person, sometimes my brain's not in gear of what to pray for. Actually, it helps me to tune in, to line up with God. And through that, he's fueled me in the sense of fueled me to keep going. And do I have my days where I don't feel like I want to be involved in the sense of taking the mission of God wherever we go? Absolutely. Are there times when I feel weak? Yeah. I have many days like that. But I have a confidence knowing that we've got such a great loving Father that his arms are always open wide. And I think he loves it like this. If you like a father, a really good earthly father would say, it'd be like, okay, he'll get it in a few moments, and when he does, I'm ready to welcome him to say yes. Because how often in my life do I try and scheme and try and come up with my own answer in life? But God is the best place to be. In his presence is the best place to be. So being filled with the Holy Spirit draws you closer to experience him. So that can happen in that kind of quiet way. So just begin to wrapping this up. Just returning back to the book of Acts. Acts 1 verse 12, the disciples followed Jesus, instructing him to return to Jerusalem and wait. And they did as they gather and pray. So your personal walk with God is so important to continue building your relationship with him. Equally, gathering corporately as a church to pray together is important too. And I know we've got opportunities in the week, once a month here on Sunday evenings. And why do we like that? It's not so the leadership can you go keeping the leadership happy. You know, we like to kind of tick your name off the list when you come in. That's not what we're about. It's not a religious thing we do just to try and keep God happy. No, we gather corporately to pray is because we believe there's power and there's beauty and there's a raising of faith as we gather together to ensure that we are all in line, saying we're totally reliant on God and wanting to hear his voice. I haven't got time today, but I'll share stories in other times of when we've gathered corporately, not just here, but in other like churches that we've been part of in the past, where there's been breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough. And that's what I want us to be as a church, that empowers to be empowered to witness. So in our walk with God on our own, but also together corporately. It knits hearts together. And if there's anything about when they gathered and waited on the day of Pentecost, it is that they were all together with one accord. There is strength in numbers. And could you imagine what it would look like for us as Lighthouse to just a bit more boldness and courage and a little bit more ounce of faith? Not saying we don't have that, but saying more, Lord. That's what we want. We want more and more of your presence. Then could you imagine the vision for Lighthouse Community Church is to effectively impact East Lothian, not for the benefit of look at Lighthouse, but it's because look at Jesus. With the good news of Jesus through our Sundays, midweek activities, our community groups, and in our day-to-day lives, can you imagine what could happen in East Lothian, the Lothians, Edinburgh, and beyond? And there is what's being described as a quiet revival right now in the UK. And earlier this year, it was the Bible Society reported this, that the most dramatic church growth is among young adults, particularly young men. And in 2018, there was just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they attended church at least monthly. The Bible Society says this, that it's risen to 16% this up to the, I think, end of last year, with a notable rise in the proportion of young men attending. Now, we hear in East Lothian old churches closing or church buildings being sold. Okay, that happens quite often. But I think God's doing a new thing. And we got a choice as a church, is either to sit and watch it all kind of happening around us, or we get to be part of it. Because that's why God sent the Holy Spirit, as he wants us to be part of it. And you've all got a part to play. Doesn't matter how small or how public it may look, you've all got a part to play. And that's what excites me. I think that's what is so amazing. So let us be a people that says, hey God, we want to wait on you. And we want to say, have your way on us. And we want to be as expectant as when those disciples were gathered in the upper room and saying, yes, Lord, because as we receive, we know amazing things are going to happen. But it's all in your hands, and it's all for his glory. Amen.